This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party Pet Life Radio. So this is me, your host, Deb Wolf.
It's always me.
This is my show, been my show for over a decade. Thank you all for listening for so long. And today, I have a special thank you to the listener who wrote in and said, please don't use my name, but you can use my location. So please don't use my name in Illinois, because you don't want to go further than that. This is the question you ask, and I don't know why you want it so discreet, because it's really not an embarrassing question. Sometimes we get asked things like, why does my dog eat my underwear? This isn't one of those, but our listener asks, why does my dog lie down when greeting other dogs? And then it's a long letter, talks about how it doesn't matter if it's at home or in the park or on the driveway. It's especially apparent in the park because the dog will see other dogs at a distance and start lying down, walk a few steps, lying down, walk a few steps, as if it has to lie down when the greeting happens. So the question is, why does my dog lie down when it greets other dogs? If you have a dog that does this, you're probably wondering the same thing. If it's a herding dog, so what do I mean? H-E-R-D, like herds sheep. If it's that kind of dog, like a border collie, a rough collie, which is what Lassie was, a Sheltie, little, they look like miniature collies, they're Shetland sheepdog. If it's any kind of dog that was bred for generations and generations of dogs to chase and corral and pen up sheep, then the lie down position is a casting position. It's like semaphore. It's like a giant signal. And so when the dog strikes the lie down pose, especially at a 45 degree angle to whatever it's looking at, it's actually getting into position to herd that animal, to direct that animal. And depending on what position the dog takes, the sheep will then go ahead of it. So there's dogs for heeling the sheep. There's dogs for leading the sheep. There's dogs for moving them into a circle. Most of the herding dogs can do all of these skills with a command. And so something like a heeler, a blue heeler, you've probably heard of that, a Queensland heeler. Sometimes they're called Australian heelers. They have other names too, but they're basically black and white sort of speckled things, and they're medium sized. And sometimes you might encounter one that's black and tan, and it's called a Kelpie. It's a very similar breed, not quite the same, but same idea. Well, these are also herding dogs. So they will strike, they will lie down in position whenever they're getting excited. And at a dog park, they probably will herd the group of dogs that's chasing the leader who has the ball, for example. So that's what they're getting ready to do. Now, if you don't have a dog like that, if you're absolutely sure your dog's a golden retriever or a boxer or whatever else, and the lying down does not immediately get followed by a supercharged burst of running energy in a certain direction or a chase, if it doesn't immediately result in a chase, then the lie down behavior is actually a greeting that is meant to offer no aggression whatsoever. It's a, hey man, we're going to be friends. See, I trust you so much. I'm going to lie down. I'm going to make myself smaller. That's what it is. Now, when dogs don't want to get along, they make themselves bigger. You'll see a dog puff his chest out. You'll see him make his head taller than another dog. And normally when they greet each other head to head and one dog tries to get his head taller and then the other dog stands stiffly, especially if they're two intact males, the other dog stands stiffly and says, no, I'm taller. The next thing that happens is a fight. So that's aggression. So the opposite of that is to make yourself smaller. And you'll see timid dogs tuck their tail down and look really, really tiny or crouch down. Now, if he's not timid and he's very trusting, he's not going to look fearful when he greets other dogs because he wants to greet them. And maybe If he's a big dog and he's super dog friendly, he might have started this because he doesn't want to scare other dogs. He sees a Chihuahua or a Beagle or a Terrier or whatever in the distance and he thinks, oh, new friend, I better not scare him. I'll just lie down and show him how small I can be. So it's a very, very, very good signal. If you're thinking, well, it doesn't sound submissive. No, it's not submissive. Submissive would be rolling over on your back, would be urinating. There's different things that dogs do when they want to truly submit. This is more like, peace, peace, man. I come in peace. How's it going? All right. So that's the closest equivalent I can do. And I really want to thank you for your question. Please keep sending your pet questions. I love it when you sign them. You don't have to use your real name. You can come up with a cute name or sign it, you know, Mindy's owner or Mindy's human or whatever, you know. But it's nice if I can just say a little bit more about you and your circumstance or even your real name. That's okay, too, on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. We're going to go to break and talk more dogs and cats. Stay tuned on Animal Party.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And a while back, I got a request to do a pet joke every week. But I don't want to do that. I like doing them sometimes. And sometimes a recipe, and sometimes a test, and sometimes a trick. So this week, I don't really have a joke for you, but I kind of was thinking something really funny the other day. So we got this dog, and we took in this lab that was supposed to be social and friendly and loves other dogs. And I was typing about it. I was texting to my staff, and I said, you know, the lab we took in, unfortunately, is a humper, H-U-M-P-E-R. He's a humper, which normally there's protocols for that. We got to make sure he's not irritating other dogs, and he's with dogs he won't hump when he's inside or he's by himself. And a lot of times people with humpy dogs think they're friendly, so they book them in a group room, and of course, nobody wants to be humped by the horny dog on their vacation. So all the other dogs are like, leave me alone until they lose patience. So we have protocols for a humpy dog. So this one comes, he's supposed to be social and friendly, but he's just so overexcited. He's trying to hump all the dogs. So I'm texting about it and I text, the lab we took in is a humper. And then I wrote, bummer. And I texted it and I sent it. And then I wrote, no pun intended. All right. Well, that's a little dog kennel humor for you. Comes up in the workplace once in a while. I have decided to train my polka dot poodle that I've been telling you about and possibly Dorita the golden doodle, who are both spayed and retired and quite young still. I've decided to see if I can train them to find chanterelle mushrooms. And that's because I'm at a lab who does it. And also because I've always wanted to do that, but I never had a sample. And last week I found a sample, so I know where to go to find them again. So it's a bit of a rigged search. And that's exactly what you need to train a dog to find something, a rigged search. You got to make it really easy and really simple and really straightforward. And you put the dog on leash and you tell it what you want it to find. And then you kind of direct it to find that thing the first time or two or three or four. And you might even take that thing and hide it in a sock and place it in your house in different places and make a game out of it. Because you're trying to get him to hone in on the mushroom smell. And once he's done that, the specific mushroom, and he connects it with a command, like, go find chanterelles, which is what I'm going to tell them. Because you don't want it to be a word he hears other times or a word he confuses with other things. Anyway, so that will be it. If you've already got your dog knowing the go find the ball, go find the bone, go find the treat, then half of the trick is already learned, the search part. Now, I haven't really done that with Polka Dot and Dorito, so I'm probably going to start doing that as well, the go find. So you got your dog and he wants his cookie, and instead of just giving it to him for sit, you make him sit, stay, and you walk 10 feet away and you place it down on the ground and you say, go find the treat. And of course he does, right? And the next time, maybe break the treat in a few pieces because you're going to do this a few times. The next time you make him sit again and stay and you walk a ways away and you place the treat, and then you walk away from the treat and you tell him, go find the treat. And he does. And then the next time you maybe hide it just a little bit. I mean, he sees you place it. He knows where it is, but you hide it behind a chair or a sofa or a lawn chair or a stump or whatever. And then good boy, every time he finds it, good boy. And I would suggest you always have him on a leash with us. So he drags you over there. Good boy. And he eats it. And oh yeah, right on. So now he knows go find. Now you might say go find the ball when you're in the middle of a fetch game and do the same thing with the ball. So now he understands he can find different things. Now you're in a better position to train for the mushrooms, but I may skip ahead because my dogs are already really keen to please me and they'll figure this out quickly. So we're going to go to the place I know the mushrooms are growing and I'm going to tell them to go find the mushrooms. And they're going to look at me like, what are you talking about? And then I'm going to walk them over to the mushrooms and make them sit beside them. This is pretty tricky. This one's important here. Make them sit beside them. I'll tell you why in a minute. And then I will say, good, 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 you good dogs, yada, 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 and give them whatever they want, whether it's a tennis ball treat, or some dogs like to chew on a Kong and a rope. Some dogs like a little bit of a fetch. Mine are middle-aged, and they're pretty treat-motivated. So I'll probably have little tiny, tiny, tiny treats, maybe homemade liver treats or something really that they love. So if they find the mushrooms, they get rewarded. And what happens then is they're not only honing in on the mushrooms, which, I mean, I could buy some from the store and start the training in the house already, but they're also honing in on what grows with them. So if the mushroom grows under a certain kind of tree or with a certain kind of ground coverage or a certain kind of soil, or they're figuring all that out. They'll smell all that and try to locate more. So they won't just take you back to that spot. So that's why I won't just do the training with the spot I know, I'll do some in the house too. So they don't think, oh, she means take her back to this spot on the earth. No, no, no. I mean, take me back to any spot that smells like mushrooms. And that's why you want the leash on. Because what if your dog smells mushrooms a very far distance away, or on the other side of a road, or on the property of a nasty bull or dog? Right? Like you don't know what's going on. So you need to be with him. Even if he's GPS tracked, which is a good thing too, then you'll know where he goes, but you won't be with him if he trespasses to find the mushrooms or something else that you should be preventing. So put him on a leash for this. So that's my Chanterelle talk, except for why do we make them sit beside? Because that dog I met, and he's such a wonderful dog, really. Rocky is a black lab who lives on the ocean and does all kinds of things for his owner. After break, I'll tell you what he was doing for me, even though I didn't really ask him to. But so Rocky, unfortunately, he's amazing at finding the mushrooms. But according to his owner, he always sits on the mushrooms. He sits on the best and biggest of the group and says, look what I'm sitting on. So they can tweak that with a leash and rewarding him to sit beside the mushroom and never giving him the reward when he's on the mushroom, not scolding him, but just sort of moving him aside and giving him the reward when he's on the side repeatedly. But it's a slight mistake, but you know, who wants your food to be sat on by a dog? Not really. I mean, you can wash it off, you can brush it off, but better to teach him to sit on the side. Okay, we're going to go back to another break, last break of the show. And when we come back, I'll tell you what Rocky did for me. A total stranger, right? I'd only met him the odd time, never walked him before. What did Rocky do for me at the beach? Well, I'll tell you, if you want to see Rocky doing it, you can go to Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook, and I'll post a few pictures of Rocky and me on our beach adventure. Okay, everybody, stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I want to tell you about Rocky. So I take this dog, Rocky, for a walk on the beach. It's a big beach, beautiful beach, Campbell River, ocean coming in, crashing waves, gorgeous. Kind of rough terrain, lots of seaweed and creatures and low tide, high tide, that whole thing. Whales, we saw so many whales. We saw humpbacks and orcas, and there's a big salmon opening now, and I tried fishing off the pier, but didn't do too well. Anyway, it's great, great trip. So I go for a walk on the beach with Rocky. And I'm looking at all the creatures, and I'm so interested. I'm using my phone, and I'm taking pictures. You know, what kind of seaweed is this? What kind of seaweed is that? Thinking about my garden or maybe eating some of it and how this works, you know. So Rocky's watching me, and he's coming with me, and he sees me look at a specific kind of seaweed and make a fuss over it. So then the next, like, 10 minutes, he keeps running over to similar seaweed and picking it up for me. So I'm like, no, Rocky, I already found that one. So then I go find a starfish. And again, I'm really interested in these beautiful purple starfish. I take a picture. And of course, Rocky's like, starfish? That's what you want? So then he goes and searches out all the purple starfish. I'm like, no, Rocky, stop giving me starfish. Put them back. Okay, so now I see an okra starfish. I'd never seen one before, a sort of blush pink kind of a thing. So I'm looking at that and taking pictures of that. Sure enough, Rocky starts bringing me the blush. Now, dogs aren't supposed to see in color, but probably he can tell the shade, dark or light, and probably they smell different. Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, he starts bringing me the blush ones. Okay, so I tell him, no, that's okay. And then I start looking at seaweed, different kinds of seaweed. And sure enough, he starts doing the same thing. He's pulling on a big piece of kelp, bull kelp, and that's, you know, floating in the water, and he's trying to bring it to me. And I mean, what a great dog. But that's because he's been trained to find mushrooms and other things. He's been trained to assist with hunting and fishing and all these things. So he's just looking for a job. And at the end, I was collecting empty oyster shells just to use as ashtrays or decoration or whatever, little dishes, soap dishes, that kind of thing. And he got so happy when he saw me collecting because it was like, nothing makes a retriever more angry or more confused than when they bring you something and you don't accept it. You put it back. So he was so happy that our walk had a purpose finally. Anyway, so yeah, this is a shout out to Rocky the Lab. I heard of this Croatian proverb, and they say, I like this one. It's an animal one, so I'm going to share with you. They say, two goats can't walk on the same rope. And I think that's an interesting one. No, some people have pet goats, but it's also, when you think of, that is so true. Goats are very difficult, and they would fight with each other, and they would chew the rope, and they would not go at the same pace. And there's even stuff in the Bible about that, about not expecting an ox and a cow to plow the field together, sharing the same plow, because the two animals are different size and strength, and it would be inappropriate and unfair to both of them. So there's different things that where you have to think about this when you try to work with animals. But the two ropes with the goat really contrasted to me with dogs and cats, because if you can imagine trying to walk two cats on one rope, yeah, forget about it. That's not going to happen. And what about two dogs on one rope? Oh, super easy if they're trained. Look at a sled. That's a huge harness with so many ropes and so many dogs. And if they're trained, it all works easily. So that's the collective cooperation of the dog compared to some of these other animals. Even the herd animal, the goat, is not as willing to work collectively toward an objective as a dog, like that lab, trying to help me forage. It was amazing to see. But something else I saw in the news, which I found a little distressing, was that on CNN, no less, 37% of pet owners that were polled said they worry that vaccines for pets might cause their pet to have autism. This is what they are saying. And I'm just stunned at this. How can this possibly be? Because there's no evidence of that. Nothing. Next time I have a vet on, we will talk about this. But honestly, there is no evidence of any of that in any way. This is just total hooey. And if you're worried at all about vaccine protocols when your puppy is young or when your dog is old, talk to your vet. They can divide up the doses so they're less amount more often. If you like, when they're really little, especially if you've got teacup or toy or a tiny little puppy. And when they're older, they can get tested to see if they no longer need vaccines. But the rest of the time, they need them and they help them. And if you ever go to a third world country and look at the impoverished and pathetic and horrible health of the wild animals, stray animals, and there, you'll know what I'm talking about. They need this stuff. So just get them their vaccines. They're not going to become autistic. All right. There was a comedian joking about this. And he said, my German Shepherd was autistic. I had it for years and I loved it a lot, but it was autistic. It never spoke once. It was nonverbal. Yeah. Okay. This is not a thing, people. Autism in dogs and cats is not a thing. It's not a thing. This is some kind of weird rumor that can cause a lot of harm. Rabies is a thing. Rabies and distemper, they're things. Parvo is a thing. Parvovirus is something that puppies get. And feline leukemia, these are things that you don't want your dogs and cats to get. They die. They can be extremely contagious. And they die. So please, get your vaccines, everybody. All right, that's my word to the wise today. And from me and Pet Life Radio, be good to your animals. From Animal Party and Deb Wolf, ciao meow.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.